to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host, and I'm the podfather of your favorite hebdomadal podcast. Oh, I'm glad you're with us. I'd be forced to endure the pain of Ende or Titus if you inflamed me with the idea that you missed this week's show. Here's our associate producer, Kate, with What's Up.
Hey, Tony, I'm on it. Responsible AI adoption. We continue our coverage of the 2026 Nonprofit Technology Conference with a panel that helps you find the low-hanging fruit for AI at your nonprofit. They share their five-step framework for deploying AI in small, thoughtful steps. They are Jen Fraser from Firefly Partners, Kate Dreyfus at New Music USA, and Ben Freda with BFC Digital. Then, ethically using AI. Chris Rossica and Bethany Friedlander share five strategies to create compelling web and social content with AI, keeping in sight ethics and risks, ideation, targeting, optimization, repurposing, and staying human. Chris is from Rossica Communications, and Bethany is at New Bridge, Cleveland. On Tony's Take Two.
Tales from the Gym, meet Chatty Sam.
Here is Responsible AI Adoption.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of 26 NTC. You know that that's the 2026 Nonprofit Technology Conference, that all these smart tech folks and tech users, this is not strictly a conference for tech employees, tech professionals. This is also for all professionals who use technology. So unless you're still using index cards as a CRM, you are using technology, odds are. You're using Microsoft 360, most likely. So 365. 365 or 360?
365.
365.
Every day of the year, Tony.
Well, it could have been 360 degrees.
I need to take five
Jen
days
Fraser.
Off, all right?
Stop
I need
yelling. It could have been 360 degrees of a compass. I was a Boy Scout. Now you're mocking the Boy Scouts?
I am. You called
even,
it.
We haven't even introduced. All right, I'm shutting our mic off. We now have two panelists instead of three. All right. So we're at the 2026 Nonprofit Technology Conference in Detroit at Huntington Place. With me now were going to be Jen Fraser. She's no longer, she's no longer a guest, but she's still CEO and founder of Firefly
That's
Partners.
True.
Also Kate Dreyfus, Director of Communications at New Music USA, and Ben Freda, President at BFC Digital. Almost like BFD. Should have been BFD Digital. Big fucking deal.
That's right, BFC, man.
Now,
whatever.
BFC.
There's still time to change it.
He changes stuff all the time, yeah. So.
All right. And their topic is low-hanging fruit, clearing a path for responsible AI adoption at your organization. I trimmed off at your organization.
Right.
I think that's understood.
Yes.
But low-hanging fruit, clearing a path for responsible AI adoption. Jen, you're the best person, I think, to give it just an overview of the topic. Please.
Yeah. So I think right now, obviously, lots of folks are excited and a little bit overwhelmed by sort of the idea of AI and what can I do with this amazing kind of new technology that has come roaring into our lives. And so what we want to do is just give a quick overview for folks about how to take some of the overwhelm and to really just boil it down to some pretty concrete, simple steps to get started. So we have a nice five-step framework that Ben and I have been using with organizations to sort of help them just really take all these ideas and all the sort of hype, all the crazy, and boil it down and get simple and get clear with inside your organization and take some concrete steps, because there's so much that is possible. And so we really just want to make sure that people are like, how do I get out of, like, I'm paralyzed with the overwhelm, and get out of that space and really start taking some steps forward.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We're going to turn to Ben then, since we have a five-step
We have a five-step framework. We got a step-by-step roadmap. And then Kate will figure out, we'll see how you... So it looks like two consultants and a client. Is that essentially the... Okay. The client is flanked.
She's flanked. She can't get out.
Center of the universe.
Kate is sitting in the middle between Jen and Ben. Oh, Jen and Ben.
Ben.
I just look at that.
It all works out.
All right. All right, so Ben, you want to acquaint us? Why don't you just tick off the five steps and then we have time to go into, but just tick off our five-step framework
totally.
For AI adoption that is low-hanging fruit.
That's low-hanging fruit. Okay. That's what we're focused on.
Yes.
So we're, you know, so many of our clients ask us, how do we start, right? Because they've heard all about this AI stuff. How do you start? And so we're trying to give people a real simple sort of process to follow, just the simple stuff. We're not asking people to do big projects. We just want them to dive in, to start to feel like they can get some workflow improvements, some efficiencies. So there's really five things you got to do. Got to do them real quick. Let me see if I can remember them.
I know.
If I can't,
somebody will
Kate
step in.
Has Someone, done this all right. in her all right. real organization for in real life. So rather than it being all theoretical, she can give us the real down low. But
that noise is Ben slamming his hand on the table for emphasis. We have to admonish Ben. Stop doing that.
I like to add a lot of extra junk noise.
I'm usually doing this. That's quiet. So
she shakes her hands.
I gesticulate
by her head. That's fine.
That's
a lot of fuzz.
Okay, Ben.
Go ahead. Five steps. Ready?
Yes.
So I can do it. Number one: learn. Spend 2 hours getting all your staff up to speed on the basics of what AI is, what it's good for, what it's not good for. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, jam sessions. Just brainstorm with people about their own jobs. Not about AI, but about their own jobs. What do they hate doing? What's annoying? What makes them groan when they think they have to do it, right? Step three, toss every idea you've heard into a big list. So step three, big list. Step four, prioritize, right? So look at everything on that list, figure out what's high effort, low impact versus high impact, low effort. Prioritize according to that. Step five, pick your top 2-3 things and write up a 1-page description of it. Blueprint, what is it good for? Why are you doing it? What might the technology be involved? What technology might be involved in doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Then you run with the top 2-3. That's it.
Run.
Okay. All right. We're going to turn to Kate. What was New Music USA facing before the innovation that BFD, no,
BFC. Go with it. I love it.
That BFC and Firefly brought to you to the New Music.
Sure. So New Music USA, we are a national nonprofit organization that focuses primarily on grant making for musicians and arts organizations, and we're a team of 10 people.
Do you do grant making to individuals?
Yes, individuals, ensembles, venues, and we also provide mentorship opportunities as well. So where we were, I think some of our team was using tools like ChatGPT on their own, but without any guidelines or real understanding of how to use it. And our connection with BFC is they helped us build our website about 5 years ago.
BFD.
BFD, yeah. As of now.
It's over.
But I've been working with Ben and his team since I joined the organization in 2023. And Ben and I were just chatting about AI in general, and he offered a training for our organization back in the fall of 2024. So we all got together and just had a learning session with Ben about what large language models are and how they work. And I think in the beginning, we were all quite intimidated, and we just didn't know where to start. We know that these tools are important and that everybody is going to be using them,
yep.
and everyone is starting to use them now, but it's hard to know where to start, especially if you are, you know, a team of 10 with lots of competing priorities and tasks. It can feel overwhelming. So that's where we started.
Let's start with the first step in the framework. Let's stick with you, the brainstorming. Did everybody contribute?
Ben and I worked together to basically decide which members of our team would make the most sense to brainstorm with. So we chose myself, Director of Communications. We chose my colleague, Nathan, who's our communications associate, who manages our social media. And we chose our development manager, Valerie, who does all of our institutional grant writing.
Hmm.
And these were the three people we felt could identify tasks that are repetitive, that require grunt work, where simple AI tools could help just alleviate some of the burden of repetitive tasks.
Simple tasks.
Very simple.
Because we're after low-hanging fruit here.
And we're not trying to replace anybody's jobs. We're trying to just cut back on repetitive tasks that take a lot of time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Jen, jam session number two, step number two in the framework is, I believe, is that the jam sessions?
Or it's jam sessions. Jam sessions.
So after brainstorming, then jam session. What's the difference between a brainstorming session?
It's actually
and a
the
jam?
Same.
I mean,
same
it's basically
thing.
The same except for jam you're eating. Obviously, yeah. No, just kidding.
Did I mix up the framework?
No.
Step one's learn.
Learn.
Oh, then, learn.
Yeah.
Oh.
See, just that.
See, well, you're all suffering with a lackluster host.
Yeah.
And Kate
take
was,
notes.
Kate was too polite to say you're wrong.
Yeah.
Step one is not brainstorm. All right.
Step one is learn.
So step one. All right. So
that's
Jen,
okay. They did the learning. She did. They talked to Ben. They got some training. That was the biggest thing. Like, what is this and what does it do and what does it not do? Once you have that framework, then you can have your jam session, because then you're like, oh, okay, these ideas are percolating. But to Ben's point, you're not immediately diving into, okay, how is all that stuff I just learned going to help me? You actually stop and come back and go, what's going on in my job? What do I hate doing? What are the things that I take, like, just this sort of grunt work, the repetitive task? What's stuff that I'm like, oh, my God, I hate sitting down with a blank slate looking at emails I need to go right back to all my grantees? I know they're going to be, it's the same stuff every time, but it takes me a while to find everybody, do the things, write the note to everybody, whatever. I have to go research. I have to go dig through papers. I do whatever. That's like a lot of just sort of like, ugh, I hate that part of my job. So you don't even really get into like, can AI help me with this yet? Like Ben said, you're just really like, let's talk to everybody about their job. So the jam sessions are more about like, hey, let's just actually talk about your day to day. And what's the stuff that sort of is a drag?
Yeah.
That's your jam session. I know it doesn't sound like a jam session, but it is, because it's also very cathartic, because you get to like talk it out with your teammates and be like, oh, this is kind of a drag.
Well, and
you're like, oh, dang. Okay, great. I can help with that. But let's not get to that yet. Let's just say, tell me what you actually literally don't love about your job. Just get it out. It's good therapy. Get it out. And then you can be like, great, we could probably help you with that.
Okay, and it's New Music USA, so a jam session is appropriate.
Could be EMAM every day.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we have our big list. We'll go back to Ben. Mm. Back to Ben on the end. What's our big list step look like?
So big list, there's the normal way of doing this, and then there's the technologically you get like an A+ way if you do it. Which is to use AI to help you with it.
All right,
okay, we don't even want to go there necessarily.
Yeah, acquaint us with the normal way.
The normal way is to listen to people in jam sessions, and anytime an idea comes up, hey, I wish I hate, like Jen, you know, like Jen said, I hate writing emails to all my grantees because they're all the same. There's a little bit different thing in each one, which is kind of annoying. You write that down. That's all. Just write it down. Make a list. And so as you do that, by the time you've done these jam sessions, you've hopefully got a list of, you know, 15, 20 things on it. So that's the base. That's the normal way, okay? If you want an A+ in AI stuff.
The
AI version.
Okay, the AI version would be to go to, you know, a Claude or something like that. Record all the meetings, by the way.
Yes, that's the key. Record them.
So record the jam sessions. Then you download the transcript, right?
Yep.
And you've got all the words in the transcript. And that's all these AI tools work on. They just work on words. So you've got all the words in the transcript. You take the transcript, dump it into Claude or ChatGPT, whichever one you want to use, doesn't matter which one. And you say, hey, I'm doing a jam session. And the purpose of this jam session is to find everyone's grunt work, right? The things they hate doing, the repetitive, the rote stuff that maybe AI might help with. And can you read through these transcripts and pick out ideas that you find? There you go. So you could do it the computer. And the A++ way is to do it both ways. And then combine them.
And compare. Yeah.
There
compare
you go.
And combine.
Okay. Do we know yet whether all the items on our big list are AI achievable?
We do not.
No.
We do not know. And
that's
a lot
correct.
Of times they won't be.
Exactly.
So that's what that next. So then you go into the next step, right? The prioritize step.
Okay.
So I don't want to skip ahead.
I don't know.
On
you.
My
well,
steps.
No, okay. Is there anything more you want to say about step three, the big list?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
yeah. We covered the big list.
The big list.
Yeah. Kate, how many items? Do you remember what was your?
So Ben met individually with me and my two colleagues, and between the three of us, we came up with a list of 15 possible use cases.
Give us a couple of examples of.
Sure. Well, the easiest one is an AI note taker, but things like so, we publicize our grantees on our website. To do that, we have to create a lot of profiles for each grantee. So like 150 profiles per year in WordPress. So very simple, repetitive task that takes a lot of time. That's one.
That's
an AI writing partner for social media strategy is another example. Let's see what else.
One more, if you can think of one.
Sure. A knowledge base for grant metrics. So basically loading all of our existing grants into Claude and then making it easier for our grant writer to find metrics from past grants and update them just to save a lot of time.
Okay. All right. Cool. Now we're prioritizing. Jen, why don't you lead us through this step?
I think that, you know, honestly, that's a big one where you, I mean, again, the list that you're making usually isn't like, well, I'm going to do this in Claude or I'm going to do this in whatever. You just say like, I really hate it when you're she's already gone through all the steps, but when you're first doing it, you're usually just saying, God, I need to go back through all of our past grant applications, or I wish I could go back through all my past, you know, applications and pull really great information out of that. God, I wish there was a way to do that. Then you figure out that AI could do that. So like we said, there's usually a list of things. You have to go through them and figure out which ones are actually going to be kind of the most AI friendly, you know, like these are going to be
achievable.
Yeah. But back to Ben's point, you're literally looking at like high impact, low effort. So you have your, think of a little grid. You're like impact over here and effort over here.
Well,
and
one is X and one is Y.
One is Y, yeah. Right? So you're looking at high end. So you then as a group, you kind of map them out and you go, how many people in the org will be impacted if we implement this solution?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be a high impact solution. And it's actually not going to be that hard. Obviously, rolling out an AI note taker is like the lowest effort thing you could possibly do. And it will have a huge impact on everybody in the entire organization if you roll it out properly. So that's the easy, like, boom, boom. It's a double win. You know, if you go, I want to create some fairly complicated custom, you know, thing or whatever, you're like, ooh, that's a high effort. And it's only really going to impact maybe one or two people on the team. We're going to put that in the let's get to that later list.
Later,
so
later on the priority.
That's where you make a grid and you plot all 15 things out on that grid with some help from then your consultants because you're like, I don't know how difficult this is to implement. And so that's where really the folks who've been doing this work can kind of jump in and be like, oh, that's actually a pretty high effort. It's not, I know all the marketing says it's really easy, but actually that's going to take a little bit more time than some of these others. So helping a group sort of sift those things onto the grid, it's easy to sort of pick out the top 2-3, if you're ambitious, maybe 4 of those high impact, low effort.
How long is this 5-step framework take to work through at an organization that has like New Music USA? 10, you said 10?
10
employees?
Folks.
Okay. So how long did it take, Kate?
How long did it take you guys?
Well, it's still very much in progress. I mean, you know, like everything, it's a matter of prioritization. So,
well, when did you start then?
When did we start? We really started in earnest in the fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, so like it's been 8 months or so?
Yeah,
or
roughly six months.
I would say about six. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe even less.
Right, and now you're at the point where you've got your list.
Yes. So we are now starting the implementation phase. We have our top 4 that I alluded to, and we're going to start with implementing 2 of those 4.
Okay, so you're at the top 2 to 3 and the blueprint. You're in the blueprint phase.
Yes.
What's this blueprint all about, Ben?
Well, the blueprint is supposed to be more detail on each idea, and you want to capture what you're trying to replace. So what is the pain point that you're trying to replace? So what is the thing that people hate doing that AI is going to do? How is it going to do it for you? And hopefully a little bit about how it's going to be implemented. Again, you might need some contractor help or, you know, do some research on this. But a lot of times it's going to be, hey, we just have a custom prompt that we're going to put into a Claude.
Mm-hmm.
Other times it might be, hey, we need to connect Zapier with an AI system or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you just want a page or two on each idea. Mm-hmm. And the reason you want that is so that you can take it and hand it to somebody to implement for you.
Yeah.
So it's either maybe somebody on your team or in your organization, or it's somebody you need to hire from outside. But it's like at least a sort of a concrete, you know, not just what this, why this exists and what it's going to do, but a little bit about how it should be done as well.
Yep. And if I may add, I think the blueprint is also very helpful if you're in a position where you need to get leadership buy-in mm-hmm. for implementing such a tool. Nonprofits are slow to adopt to new technologies. And I mean, arts nonprofits, I think, are even slower in many cases. So, you know, having this blueprint was extremely helpful. I was able to send it to our CEO and say, these are four tasks that we can undertake. This is how much time it's going to take to implement them and how much time it could save us in the long run.
It's the ROI.
Exactly. Yeah. And metrics like this are so important, and the blueprint really helped establish those and helped me get leadership buy-in. So.
Okay. And then it's implementation. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You're going to talk some about ethical issues around AI. I believe that's what your
responsible adoption
description.
There's a little bit of responsible adoption.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Flesh that out for us.
I mean, essentially, because we only have a 30-minute session, we can't touch on everything. But we do talk about at the beginning a little bit of just about again, like backing up to saying, like, we understand there are a lot of considerations to go into using these technologies. There's a lot of focus right now on the environmental impacts of data centers and things like that. So, and the politics or the ideologies of the folks who run the various companies that do the large language models that we're using right now, the generative AI that most folks are using. So mostly we just want to bring some of those ideas to the fore. We don't have a lot of time in our session to talk about it, but we can do a whole other, I mean, I'm sure there are other sessions at the NTC this year about the ethics around using the tools. So it's also, there's a lot of thoughts about like, what does it still mean to be the original creator of something? What does it mean now when all the ideas of all of humanity are basically in a giant robot machine and it's, you can spit it back out at you? So there's all these different sort of ethical, theoretical, ideological considerations, environmental, all these things. And it's just important for us to help people understand. In the learning part, we very much say, go to some learnings that actually really dig into some of these things. If you don't know about these things already, you should educate yourself. And then, like in a session I had on my Untangled a couple of weeks ago, it was like, talk about these things as a group inside your organization.
She drops the name of the podcast. But she did it so obliquely that
it's fine.
Probably not even noticed. I just called it out,
thanks,
of course.
But me and...
It's called Untangled.
Untangled. Brian Miller and I were talking about exactly these things to do before you get going, which is to say, as an organization, where are we with our values and what kind of... you know, organizations do we want to work with, whether it's the AI tool or the vendor that, you know, prints our posters or whatever. We need to think about that as an organization. You probably already have those conversations about other vendors or other folks you want to partner with. Your AI tools are no different. So it's like, how do we want to take our ethics and our values and make a values-aligned decision about what tools we're going to use and how we're going to use them as an organization?
I like your analogy about working with other partners,
yeah,
consultants,
yeah,
partnering with other nonprofits.
Yeah. Whatever.
I mean, you would consider their values.
You would.
You should do the same here.
Mm. You should.
This is,
mm-hmm,
this is a
you
partner.
Should.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
All right.
And let me add one, yeah, thing about our framework.
Yeah.
We're about to wrap up now.
Yeah.
I want to thank Jen Fraser. Ken, no. Ben. Ben, I got him.
He's
I got
not
him.
You got him. He's like, wait, what?
I was like, oh, my mic's off. I think I turned it off. It happens every time.
No, every
please,
time.
Please add what you'd like to
so
add.
So framework-wise, by the way, you can actually download our framework from our session notes,
yes,
from our session if you want. We have a little framework handout. Ethics is captured in part 5, okay,
mm-hmm,
which is the blueprint and execution phase. As you do that, you want to, every time you implement a new tool, you want to update this thing, which you should have, called an AI use policy for your organization.
Correct.
And so the process of creating one of those should hopefully capture your ethical stance on this stuff. You should consider what you want to use, what you don't want to use, and put that into your AI use case or AI use policy.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you hit step 5 and you start executing on your ideas, you want to go back to the AI use policy and add whatever tool that you've created or adjust what you have in that policy to reflect the tool that you have adopted or the thing that you've created.
Mm-hmm.
Can we spend a couple minutes on the environmental impact?
Mm.
I mean, the environmental impact is unavoidable.
It is.
Mm.
As soon as you start entering prompts, and then massive data centers are
churning
through your prompt and
correct.
Going through their quadrillions of bits of data, and so the environmental impact is unavoidable from the get-go.
Yep.
Correct.
If you are aligned with the sort of climate change mindset, and that climate change is an issue for your nonprofit, even if it's not your work, but it's part of your values.
Yes.
Mm.
Then how you have a unavoidable
how do you reconcile that
conundrum?
You do.
That's a dissonance.
Yeah. Yes. So this is how I think about it. Everybody should think about it in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Do their own research. Figure out, which is a terrible phrase to use, but do research. Figure out how you feel about it. So the way I think about it is, there are environmental trade-offs about everything we do. So drive a car, right? You should probably, if you can, take the bus, take public transit, not contribute to climate change, right? But there are good things about cars. There are ambulances, for instance, which can take people to a hospital. So it depends on what you're using it for, right? So do you want to use AI to write yourself jokes to make you laugh before bed? Probably not. Are you using AI to change the world in a better way, and that's going to be super impactful? Then, you want to think about it. The other thing to think about is the context of the environmental, the actual data about how the data centers impact the environment is a bit opaque. That's, I think, the biggest problem with using these tools, is that we actually don't really know how much energy they use and how much water they use. It's hard to extract that information from the systems that are in place.
Yep.
On the other hand, we do know that Google's largest data center last year used as much water as the average golf course in the United States.
That's the golf course.
So, what's more useful? What's more, what contributes more to the world? I would argue, a data center, but maybe not. It depends on your perspective.
If you're a golfer, maybe not. But I think about all the golf courses on the planet and the places also where golf courses are. Let's go with Palm Springs or Arizona. Same thing. It's like ridiculous amounts of water that goes into a very luxurious, I think, elitist.
For 1,000 people.
Yeah, so. Elitist sport that's very expensive, blah, blah, blah. So there's that. There's the environmental impacts generally right now are water consumption is the biggest thing. And obviously, but there's other impacts about like where are they building the data centers?
Mm-hmm.
Who's actually staffing the data centers? What's happening in that community? A lot of folks are actually fighting the building of data centers in their local communities and things like that. So you have to kind of like dig into it, but to Ben's point, it's very hard to find this information. They like to hide it from you as much as they can. But there are different ways. So I'll just drop another name. There's an organization here called Change Agent, which is a open source based and very an AI tool that's just like ChatGPT or Claude, but they're built from and within the social sector. So shout out to those guys. They will give you a rundown of how they are combating the environmental impacts of the data centers that they're using to process their stuff. And so they do a lot of carbon offsets. They do a lot of work internally as an organization to already think about this and combat that. So they're, again, because they're from the space, they're already thinking about this and they're like, hey, we know this is a problem. We have ethical problems with it, but yet we also see huge benefits from organizations being able to use these tools.
Okay.
So they're a good one to also just look at if you're considering AI tools.
Kate, I'm going to give you the closing word.
Yep.
How did New Music USA reconcile the environmental impact with the return on investment that it expects to enjoy picking up the low-hanging fruit with AI?
Sure. I mean, I think the way we're thinking about it is more in terms of, these tools are here and are going to be broadly used and adopted by most organizations and most people. So our take on it has been, how do we learn to use these tools that are here as responsibly as we can use them?
All right. Yeah. Perfect way to end. That's Kate Dreyfuss, Director of Communications at New Music USA. With Kate is Jen Fraser, CEO and founder at Firefly Partners, and Ben Freda, president of BFC, open paren, BFD, close paren, Digital.
Whichever you prefer.
No, the name of the company is BFC Digital. Ben Freda. Yeah. All right, Jen, Kate, Ben, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony.
Thanks, so much.
Thanks, Tony.
Awesome. And thank you for being with Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of the 2026 Nonprofit Technology Conference.
It's time for Tony's Take Two.
Thank you, Kate. We have a new character in our ensemble at the gym, community gym that I go to. This is Sam. Now, Sam is the gentleman who invited me to sign Jerry's birthday card. Remember Jerry, who I don't know, but I recognized him when Sam told me where he sits because he sits at the same bike every single time and he's turned 91. I signed his card. That was Sam who invited me to do that. Not because Sam knows my name, but just because he sees me a lot. So he invited me to sign. Sam is interesting. He's very talkative. I think he's north of 80. He's got this great shock of white hair, all pure white hair, slender, tall. I believe he was in the military. I think I've heard him say through the years that I've been going, he was in the military. He may have even flown, like maybe a Navy pilot or something, or Navy flyer, not necessarily pilot, could be backseat, some aircraft. But I have to get a little more bearing on Sam. So I just learned his name. That's why I'm introducing you to him. I didn't know who he was, but I heard him introduce himself to someone else. Yeah, he's chatty. He walks around to the different stations and different machines and people, and I don't know if he's interrupting, but he's imposing. You know, he wants to talk about, he talks about sports, he talks about politics, he talks about town stuff, like little events that are coming up. You know, like we had St. Patrick's Day last month, festival, things like that. But he goes around, and he is slender, but it's not because he works out a lot, because he does more walking in the fitness center than he does actually working out at machines or weights or anything. He likes to tell stories and talk to people. So that's Chatty Sam, very nice guy. Well, if you can put aside the fact that he's imposing on everyone's workouts. He doesn't impose on mine. And because I'm on the elliptical, or I'm down on the floor and I'm panting as I'm doing my planks. And so, plus you'd have to bend down to talk to me. So I'm inconvenient. But he talks to a lot of people. Unless you're on the treadmill. The treadmill he avoids. But if you're at any of the machines, or even on the bikes, he comes over for a chat. It's a little much, I believe. That's Chatty Sam. And that's Tony's Take Two. Kate?
So do we know if the guy ever got his birthday card?
Oh, Jerry did get his birthday card, yes. But it was about 2 weeks late because he didn't come in at the same time Sam was coming in with the card. So by the time they got together, it was about 2 weeks after Jerry's birthday.
It's still the thought that counts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's probably still, I'm sure Jerry is still scratching his head. It keeps him up at night. Who's the person who signed Jim Rat? Who could that be?
Who's Jim Rat? We've got just about a buttload more time. Here is Ethically Using AI.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of 26 NTC. That's the 2026 Nonprofit Technology Conference. We are all gathered, all these technologists and technology users in Detroit, Michigan. With me now are Chris Rossica, CEO and President at Rossica Communications, and Bethany Friedlander, President and CEO at Newbridge Cleveland. Chris, Bethany, welcome.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you both. Your session topic is 5 tips for ethically using AI to develop compelling website and social content. Chris, I'm going to ask you to just give us a high-level overview to start us off.
Sure. Our room was pretty packed with mainly nonprofit executives who were really, based on the title of our topic, looking for ideas and how they could use AI to generate content, whether it's for an article or a blog, how to repurpose that content for social media. Also, how to leverage earned media coverage, say an interview with Bethany Friedlander from Newbridge, and take that interview and turn it into, say, an e-newsletter for stakeholders. So it was really about utilizing AI in ethical ways, of course, but utilizing it to really integrate and diversify marketing communications so it's less taxing on staff to do that work, and it makes it more feasible to do the work that in the past may not have been a priority based on resources, resource limitations, and lack of qualified personnel to do that work.
All right, thank you. That's ideal. Thank you for that. Bethany, are you a client of Rossica Communications? Is that the relationship here, client and
Indeed.
Consultant?
Yes, we actually met at South by Southwest EDU. We sat next to each other at a breakfast and have developed a really strong relationship, primarily working on elevating the story of Newbridge Cleveland. We're a smaller nonprofit. Looking to frame that story, how do you become not a nice to fund, but a must fund? And how do you do that, particularly bringing national money into Cleveland, which is not a place where a lot of national money finds its way, actually. We have a very robust local philanthropy, but not nationally.
Okay, and before working with Chris and Rossica, what was your experience, if any, with artificial intelligence using?
I think we were probably in the same place a lot of nonprofits are, which was, is this cheating, right? We answered the same grants 15 years in a row with the same questions. They've never changed the application. Is it cheating to use AI? And I would say, no, we have our own blinders on about the language we use to discuss ourselves. And I think it's important to have an opportunity to have that looked at, challenged, and improved.
Okay. Chris, why don't you walk us through, you have 5 strategies of ethically using AI for web and social content. Can you just tick those off and then we'll talk through?
Sure. So the ways that you can use AI include positioning and messaging and help frame the story. The second is for repurposing content for stakeholder communications. The third way that you can utilize AI is to help you expand your website content, and that includes articles, thought leadership articles on your site. The fourth is to utilize these tools to help you be more searchable online. So AI search today, Tony, is huge, and many nonprofits are struggling or still struggling with search engine optimization. Now you have AI search, and how do you rank? How do you rank in AI search? So that was another key topic we spoke on. And then the last is really creating your brand persona. And how do you stand apart? How do you differentiate your organization?
Okay. Around the ideation, you know, thinking about brainstorming how you might have started using AI at Newbridge Cleveland, Bethany, was there a brainstorming session or meetings, or like how did you decide where the the best use cases would be to begin?
So a number. So first of all,
you're like, oh.
No, so, but a lot of different opportunities, right? So yeah. One of the biggest
how do you
for me was
how do you choose? Yeah.
Character limitations and grants. So you can write the most eloquent answer in the world, and if it doesn't fit within 250 characters, so it's fantastic as a tool to take you and edit as an editor. Also to help you brainstorm. So the opposite, right? So sometimes I know exactly what I want to say, and I'm not saying it in a few enough characters, and sometimes I don't know what I want to say at all. And so I can start in a very casual way throwing ideas and words into AI and then getting back the brainstorming that then I can then further refine.
Chris, any thoughts on this ideation phase?
I think that having AI really get to know you and what you're all about is critical, and Bethany's done a great job of doing that, of educating the AI, of prompting it, of having it really explore what her brand is all about. Most websites today aren't up to date with people's messaging. Why? Because all organizations evolve. All nonprofits are evolving. The landscape is it's challenging right now because federal funding has been cut across the board. And how do you stand apart and diversify your funding mix, right? And that's one of the things that Newbridge has done a great job with. It's really giving AI all of the information. And they've also updated their website, too, recently with very current messaging. Again, many fall behind in that area, not just nonprofits, but across the board.
Yeah.
Corporations do as well. So that's something that I've seen really pay dividends to Newbridge. And Bethany, I'm sure, has a lot to say about how she works to inform the AI and really let it get to know her.
Yeah, so I throw every email that I write into it with the quote, with the prompt of make this better. I may or may not use the change, but every time I do that, it's learning my language. It's learning my phraseology so that then when I ask it to create something new, it's creating it more and more frequently and tighter, closer to my own voice. We're also a fairly complicated nonprofit in terms of how we do the work. And that's been a challenge since our inception to explain to funders. And so allowing myself to engage in a dialogue with AI to say which parts of this are the most resonant with the audience that I'm trying to get to, and understanding that it really only matters that it's heard. It doesn't matter what I'm necessarily prioritizing, so letting it do some of that work for me and acknowledging that I may not be the best lens. We're very close to our work. I don't think there's a nonprofit here who isn't deeply passionate about their mission, deeply resonant. That can be a huge limitation to your success because it puts huge blinders on you and the language you use to describe your work.
That's interesting, yeah. When you're uploading everything, including your emails, Are you doing this to a learning base that is unique to Newbridge? This is not in the public domain.
Right. Well, and that's a funny question because I am giving it a tremendous amount of power and information that it can use then to improve other nonprofits, right? But I think it's still worth it to have that refinement to and I would say now I would say about 85% of what it writes, I clearly hear my own voice. I no longer question it. It does not seem like a foreign entity. But that's also because I have my own account. I don't let anyone else use my account, so it's only getting input from me. It's not getting input from the entire organization.
Okay. But it is one of the public models.
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay. And so that doesn't, you know, I mean, every email, maybe not every email, literally, but you know, if it's 95% of your emails or even 75% of your emails, that doesn't bother you that they're now in the, is it right to say they're in the public domain? Well, they're in the domain that this large language model, which what do you use?
ChatGPT.
That chat is learning from.
Yeah.
That doesn't trouble you?
It does.
Suppose somebody does a prompt. Write me an email in Debbie Friedlander's tone. To have her director of finance write a check for $50,000 to my company. I mean,
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair question. And we had a great audience member who wouldn't talk about like the ethics of all of this. And I think it's incredibly important. I think where my head's at right now is a 15-person staff with a $2.5 million budget that has to be raised like clockwork starting July 1 of every year. And right now, the benefits outweigh the liabilities. I care deeply about my participants and making sure that no private information about my participants is ever included in those emails. I would never do that. I would also never put an email in that had any private information about a funder or an arrangement with a funder. But if we're talking about conversational emails where I'm talking about Newbridge, and every day I have 10 opportunities to describe the organization, they don't all land equally. And so being able to run it through that and recognizing, I think it's elevated the language. And my proof is that it's elevated our status in Cleveland. It's increased the number of tables that we're sitting at. It's increasing the number of dialogues we're participating in. And I think ultimately that pays off.
That's interesting. So you're seeing those kinds of outcomes.
Absolutely.
Prominence in the city.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Being a thought leader. And I mean, you can only be a thought leader if your thoughts are well organized. And I don't know that that's something that naturally we all do particularly well.
And heard.
And heard.
Also.
And heard.
Otherwise, if your thoughts are well organized and nobody reads them, that's called a diary. that's not what you're aspiring to.
But you're right. Yeah. There's risk and you are enriching something that you're never going to get back. So you have to hope that your returns come in another way. And I think right now, benefits outweigh liabilities. I can't say that that's going to be true forever.
Okay. Chris, say something about the AEO, I call it AEO, Artificial Engine Optimization. You said earlier a lot of nonprofits are still working on SEO, but that really has been overtaken. It's almost an anachronism now because the artificial engine, the AI engines are generating summaries that don't lead to your website.
Right.
How do we overcome this?
Certainly, new
environment.
There are a lot of pretty simple and straightforward ways of understanding how AI works. And it's not really reverse engineering either. You can look at who is ranking for certain key phrases. So if you put in workforce development, healthcare workforce development organization in Cleveland,
we better come up first.
You better come up first. Exactly.
This relationship is not working otherwise.
Exactly.
You've been admonished.
Yeah. So if you put in a certain key phrase, depending on where you're located, and the geographic service area that you're serving, right? You can be a national organization. Most of the time, though, national organizations have a local presence, right? So the telltale signs are, are you ranking in AI search results? And if not, scroll down and then you'll see people who are searching AI also ask, and then you'll see some additional key points. So you'll know you'll know the ways people are searching in AI for answers. After you understand that, then it's time to modify your website and the content on your website to create summaries, really succinct summaries, and Q&As, or FAQs.
FAQs, yeah.
That address those questions that are being asked on a regular basis. So these are just some very basic ways of beginning to appear in AI search results. There are some other things that are a little bit more technical. So if any of your listeners have questions about that, we're very transparent and very willing to share with them those specifics. So if they have a web developer that's part-time or an agent, a company that's working for them, we can steer them in the right direction and let them know what they need to do so they rank in AI search results.
Okay. Bethany, how about expanded web content? This is generating website content for you as well as social, right? As well as social content.
Yeah. So before we met Chris, we had no social media presence. I just didn't have anybody. Let me take a step back. I think it's really important if you're going to add anything to your organization, you need to be doing it consistently. So having, you know, a Twitter account, if you're tweeting or Xing, I guess, once a month is irrelevant. Yeah. So I never had the staff to do it. Chris has showed us how we can take content that we put in one place and use it in multiple other places in a really simple way. And so we've greatly expanded our footprint. And I think it's really about, it's not about eliminating work, it's about doing work smarter. And so I think we were in this phase of just we can't, and now it's we can, and we can do that smarter.
And is that AI related?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
So explain how you can take like one of my articles and then...
So Bethany was featured on Medium, or Authority Magazine's Medium platform. Millions of people have exposure to that, but how do you know if the right people are, you know, tuning into the website and seeing Bethany's bylined article or op-ed piece? So what we did utilizing AI, took that interview with Authority Magazine, turned it into a blog post that went onto Newbridge's website, turned it into a LinkedIn social post, all in an automated fashion that saved so much time. And there's no, it's in the information, the article was in the public domain to begin with. It's on medium.com. So I understand the question you asked earlier, Tony, about sensitivity and do you really want to give it confidential information? And 99%, I mean, almost all of what we do is not that at all. We're very wary of doing that. And I concur. I get the sense that you feel you have some concerns about that. And we have the same concerns. I know Newbridge does too. But in this area, that article now is turned into all this content for different channels, and it's all unique content. Same holds true not only for the earned media coverage, but for an article, a thought leadership article that is written for the Newbridge website. That can be turned into a media pitch, where that can be turned into social posts for all your social channels. And then we use AI on an ongoing basis to take one social post that we write and turn it into social posts for all of a nonprofit's channels. So it's unique content, but it's still conveying the same message.
Okay. You had your session already.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So what are some of the questions you got that struck you or memorable?
So we asked them a question, which was to put a simple question into whatever AI they're using, which is, what movie star is my organization? And I do that, and I talk about that because it allows you to see how you're being seen. It's the language you're using. So interestingly enough, overwhelmingly in the room, everybody got Tom Hanks. And the inclination was, oh, then AI is not that smart. It only has one actor. And my response is, no, that's because we're all talking about our organizations in the same way. We're all talking about ourselves as kind, good people. Now, interestingly enough, Newbridge doesn't come up that way. Newbridge comes up as Viola Davis, and that's partly because we talk a lot about trauma, resiliency, and grit. And if you want to talk about somebody who embodies that, Viola Davis really embodies that. So my suggestion to people is, if you don't like what you're getting back, then think about how you're talking about yourself, because we're really much more complex than just being good.
By the way, Rossica Communications is George Clooney, so which was a shocker, by the way.
Yeah. Clooney. Okay, now I'm thinking of Alec Baldwin. Yeah, now I was thinking of the personal side of Alec Baldwin. No, George Clooney. Now that, so are you happy with that?
Very happy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, great under pressure. He always seems to be great under pressure. His persona, right? His acting persona. Very consistent. You can rely on him.
Right.
Yeah, those types of attributes.
Yeah, does similar kinds of roles too.
Yes.
Right, okay. Leading man, very good.
Okay.
What's another question you got that might be interesting for us?
So we also ask, what's something about my organization that's confusing or might be misunderstood by funders? Again, something that you may not see. It might be a huge blind spot for you, but can help you with clarity. And then also, what is the number one thing we could be renowned for? What can we be world best at? So I think asking it those questions, it's not I mean, it's not foolproof, but it does give you a sense of how somebody who's not with you every day might respond to you, think about you, and what they might be left with as an impression. If it's not the impression you want them to be left with, change the language you're using.
Well, yeah, Tony, we always say perception is reality. And how are you effectively demonstrating the value you bring to the stakeholders that you serve? And if you're not differentiating your organization, and if you're not saying things that truly resonate with those stakeholder groups, then you're missing a huge opportunity to improve communications in order to serve more people that you're looking to serve.
How about we leave it there?
All right. Thanks.
All right. That's Chris Rossica, CEO and President at Rossica Communications, and Bethany Friedlander, President and CEO at New Bridge Cleveland. Chris, Bethany, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Tony.
Thanks for being with us, and thank you for being with Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of the 2026 Nonprofit Technology Conference.
Next week, we've got more on AI from 26NTC with AI for the Rest of Us and Your AI Acceptable Use Policy. If you missed any part of this week's show,
I beseech you, find it at tonymartinetti.com.
Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. I'm your associate producer, Kate Martinetti. The show's social media is by Susan Chavez. Mark Silverman is our web guy, and this music is by Scott Stein.
Thank you for that affirmation, Scotty. Be with us next week for Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Go out and be great. Okay, a little note here. We've got more. The way you said more made it sound like it's too much. It lost the effect. We've got more. All right, I'm exaggerating. You didn't do it that much, but we've got more on AI. Please, just do next week for me.
Next week, we've got more on AI from 26NTC with AI for the Rest of Us and Your AI Acceptable Use Policy.